On July 3rd, Russ and I were at a Bayfront Park concert and ran into a friend of ours, Gene Tonkin. I mentioned that we were going to stop downtown when we left to check in on the baby peregrines, and so Gene came along with us. We drove up to the top of the casino parking lot, and as we turned the corner onto the top level, I looked straight for the nest box two blocks away, but couldn't see any of the birds. Then something caught my eye right next to the car. One of the baby peregrines with a band clearly reading number 78 was sitting there atop a concrete block supporting a light fixture, right at eye level, only a few feet away. I opened the side window and took a photo of the scene and then decided we needed to be a little further away, so I got out of the car on the opposite side, grabbing my scope, and stepped back. Russ and Gene moved forward and parked and came slowly toward me. I needed to be as far back as the parking lot would allow, not only for the bird's sake, but also to get all of it in my scope. I had my more powerful 40x eyepiece on the scope rather than the 30x one I usually use, and I didn't have the better one with. I also forgot to bring the little homemade adapter I use when I'm taking photos through the scope. I had to handhold the camera in place to take the pictures. But I snapped away. That's the great thing about a digital camera, because any photos that don't turn out can simply be deleted. Unfortunately, within a minute of when I started shooting, the low battery light started flashing. And after I got a bunch of photos of the bird in one spot, the battery died. We watched for a few minutes more. Several cars passed us, and the bird started getting stressed out. I'm not sure why it didn't call for its parents. Baby peregrines have exceptionally loud voices that carry far, specifically for yelling for help when they get in a jam. But after one car passed very close, the bird started flapping and jumped from her perch. Unfortunately, the huge gusts of wind we'd been experiencing all morning, the kind of wind that had probably plucked her off her nest box in the first place, had died, and she didn't stay aloft at all. So when she fell to the concrete, she started running right in the driving lane. She headed down toward the First Street exit where holiday traffic was moderately heavy. So Russ, Gene, and I headed her off at the pass, and I tossed a towel over her. Then I called Dave Evans, the bander at Hawk Ridge, who's been keeping closer track of the babies than I have for much longer, and he said she needed to get back on the roof of the hotel where the nest box was and gave me the phone number of the manager. But being Sunday of a holiday weekend, there was no answer, and the answering machine message gave no other number to call. Gene knows people at the North Shore Theater, so since that's right next door to the hotel, I did what I thought was the next best thing and carried her there, still bundled in the towel because I didn't have a cardboard box handy. The poor bird looked up at me, terrified, and being a hawk, she had no clue about gentle words. Kindness is simply not part of the vocabulary of hawks and falcons. A nice guy named Rob at the North Shore led us up to the roof, and I released number 78. She galumphed away, and I hoped her parents would quickly discover her and bring her some food. We left knowing we'd done the best we could, and hoping that was good enough. Unfortunately, as it turned out, it wasn't. When baby peregrines fledge, they're supposed to make practice flights and then head back to the nest site to be fed. And so at some point she made another attempt to get airborne and ended up on the ground on Superior Street, where she collected a crowd, including two friends of mine, Lisa Messner and Judy Gibbs, who called me. I let my rehab license expire, and she obviously needed to either get back on the hotel or into the hands of someone who could legally keep her until the manager was available, so I told Lisa to call Dave Evans. He picked her up and kept her overnight. He was going to set her back on the roof by the hotel on the 4th of July. That's Independence Day. As these hawks test their own independence, there's a very narrow window between them being clumsy nestlings and them being either expert flyers or dead. I sure hope number 78's reprieve is all she needs before she can test her wings and take to the sky at last. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.